turn with me, if you will, to the book of John. This morning, I want to answer the question, why do we exist? Why do we exist? Why do we exist as an individual? Why do we exist as a church? This morning, I want us to look at that. And if you're in the book of John chapter 1, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. So I want you to do something for me. If you don't normally take notes, this morning would be your day to take notes, because I want everybody that can and will to take out your bulletins or a piece of paper or something and a pencil or a pen. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to draw for me three boxes. Three boxes that are side by side, and make them big enough to where you can write a word in each box. Not a big word, but just a word, and I'll give you those words in just a little bit. And then in those three boxes, or in between those three boxes, I want you to draw an arrow. I want you to draw an arrow from the first box to the second, and from the second box to the third. Okay, so a little bit of arts and crafts here this morning, but that gets you set up to where we're going to be going this morning, okay? So if you've done that, please let me know by smiling at me, nodding at me. You're good to go. Okay, the rest of you, just use your imaginations, but this is going to be very helpful to you to have a visual. So you've drawn the three boxes. You've connected them with arrows. Now I want you to draw on the first box, which would be the one to the furthest to the left. You're going to go from left to right on this. So in the first box, I want you to write the word no, K-N-O-W, no. And it's up there on the screen. So as we write in this first box, the word no, this answers the first part of the question of why we exist. Knowing Christ. What does knowing Christ look like? I'm going to use some analogies this morning as it relates to our relationship that we have here on this earth. Many of us would understand this as we're talking about how we date, how we get married, and then how we have a marriage and have children and that sort of process of life that we all are very familiar with. And I'm going to look this morning in John, the first chapter. We're going to start in verse 35, because you're going to see how the disciples were introduced to Jesus as the Messiah, as the Savior. They began to date him, if I can use that analogy. They began to fall in love with him, if I can continue on with that analogy. In verse 35, it starts, it says, again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, that's John the Baptist, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and, seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. You see the progression there. It went from a teacher to the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. And now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. Verse 43 says, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida and the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. It's the second time we've seen that in this passage this morning, and that's where we're going to stop in this part of it. Now, that's really what happens when we date someone. When you think about it, is, hey, come check out this guy. Come check out this girl. I think I'm interested. I think I'm going to hang around this person a little bit and get to know them, and I'm going to date them. And really, it eventually, hopefully, if all goes well, culminates on a wedding day that is approaching. So as a church, what does that look like? And there's going to be a couple of different things that we're going to look at this morning in each of these categories. The first one is our corporate gathering as a church. That really is our Sunday morning gathering. It's what we're doing here this morning. We're coming together, and we're preaching the gospel here. Through the worship that Cameron led us in, he pointed you to Christ, didn't he? not to his abilities or not to my abilities or not to this facility or anything else that's going on here, not anybody else. He pointed us to Jesus, and that's what we do on Sundays. We gather here together to say that Jesus is the answer. We let people know about the good news here at Faith Assembly. We introduce folks to Christ here. And we all, by the way, contribute to creating a spirit-empowered atmosphere in which the worship and the preaching and the teaching and the announcements and the greeting and the ushering and the media and the children's ministry and even the donuts and the coffee and the nursery and the interaction with one another one before and during and after the service, all of it revolves around creating an atmosphere where we're introducing people to Christ. We all contribute to this atmosphere this morning. I want you to realize how important that each of us has to contribute to this. You see, if we come into this place angry, or if we come into this place withdrawn or unfocused or distracted or with some sort of attitude, that will contribute to the overall atmosphere in a negative way, in a way that will be detrimental to introducing people to Christ. But if we come into this place joyful, if we come open, if we come focused, if we come with a sense of purpose, then we all contribute positively to the overall atmosphere here of introducing people to Christ. It's like, you know, when you walk into a room, you ever been in a situation like that where you can just kind of sense the vibe of the room? Anybody's ever been in a situation like that where you just know that something ain't right here? Yeah. Or something is right here. It just depends. It's a vibe that we all kind of put out there. So let me ask you a question, sort of a what-if question. What if we were to all come into this corporate gathering with the primary focus of contributing positively to a spirit of empowerment, of a spirit-empowered atmosphere here in this place, as we just read in our text a couple of times, a come-and-see sort of approach? What if we were to come here not expecting to simply to be ministered to, but we came here to be a minister to someone else, to come and see that the Lord is good. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, too many folks, I believe, come into too many churches across the country with a feed-me mentality, a sort of a feed-me approach that only has as their goal as to what's in it for them. But if this were a dating relationship, this church experience here, that approach wouldn't make that relationship last too long. If you've ever been in a relationship and it was all about what you can get out of it, that wouldn't last very long. That wouldn't be a very successful relationship. It's all about, in fact, a healthy relationship is one where we outserve one another, where we outlove one another, where we outdo one another. That's a healthy relationship. And if we all came in each Sunday intentionally focused on what each could do to contribute to a spirit-empowered atmosphere, and then do that, this church would be transformed. Then when people come to visit, there would be such a sense of God's powerful and loving presence that they want to come back and be part of it. It's kind of like a good first date, you know? Hey, I think I want to try this again. And then eventually they make a decision to accept Christ as Savior. As we maybe have heard before, they put a ring on it. They get married to Christ. You see, remember, it's all about intentionally creating an atmosphere where we each contribute to introducing people to Christ. That should be our goal here on Sunday mornings. Now, we're doing well with this. We really are. I appreciate the love that you all express to others as they come into this place. This is certainly not a way of chastising anybody. But I can say this morning, that starting with me, we all can do better with that. All of us together can contribute to making the atmosphere here on Sundays even better than it is now. Or we can contribute to making it worse by how we approach it. So this first box of knowing Christ corporately looks like this. And this, I'm speaking to you as an individual now. Each and every one of us intentionally must focus on contributing to a spirit-empowered atmosphere as we gather. Because everything that we do here is connected to a soul. You coming on Sunday mornings and playing your part is connected to someone either knowing Christ or not. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, the deep responsibility that you and I have to make sure that we touch people's lives as we gather together. So maybe what do you need to do differently or better than what you're normally doing here? How do you need to maybe approach the services here differently than you've been approaching them? You see, no matter what level of involvement that you have in this service today on any given Sunday, no matter what that is, what you need to do differently maybe to help you to more intentionally contribute positively to a spirit-empowered atmosphere here. Here's some suggestions. Maybe we put our phones away and look around before service and see what's going on as someone walks in. Maybe if it's really crowded in here in this place on a given Sunday, that we give up our seat to someone else so that they can have a place to sit. Maybe we allow them at a potluck to get in line in front of them. I know that's kind of meddling with somebody right there, but maybe we let someone get in front of us. You don't understand, Pastor, there's only two biscuits left and there's three people in line. I gotta get that biscuit. Maybe we choose not to respond in kind to a hateful word that's spoken over us. Maybe we choose to walk in love and forgiveness instead. Maybe we reach out to a stranger who's our guest and make them feel warmly welcomed. Maybe we smile at someone who looks sad or hug someone who seems upset. Maybe we pray for someone today. There's 100 different ways that this looks like, and all of us can do our part. This is not a job just for me and for the ushers and for the worship team and anybody else that's a leader in this church. We are all responsible to contribute to this. You see, the Holy Spirit knows how to help you in this, as everything that he does is to bring glory to Jesus. It's not about personal preference. You know, we can come in here and say, well, I don't like that style of music, or I don't like the length of the service, or I don't like the way that the pastor preaches. You see, that's personal preference, but that's not what church is all about. You see, the overall purpose of why we exist, it's not a personal preference, but it's about purpose. And that overall purpose is that we exist as the Church of Jesus Christ to be the vehicle to convey the good news of Jesus Christ to all of mankind. That's why we exist. We should never change the central message, but we should always be open to different methods of conveying that message. That's choosing purpose over preference, because it's not about me, it's not about you, but it's about the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, but we look at that and say, okay, that's great for the four walls inside of the four walls of this church, but as it is inside these four walls, we are also required to do the same outside of these four walls. We create an atmosphere around us, I don't know if you've thought about this, in such a way, wherever we go and whatever we do, as it provides us the opportunity to introduce Christ to others in our workplaces and at our schools and in our neighborhoods and in every interaction with whatever others and wherever we may go, we've been called out to introduce others to Christ as Savior and as Lord. Because everything, and I say it again, everything that we do in our lives is connected to a soul. Again, maybe you put your phone away while you're out and about and you look around and see if there's a need that you might be able to reach out to. Maybe you give up your seat on the bus or some other place to someone else that might need one. Maybe you allow them to get in line in front of you at Walmart because they have just one item and you have 50. Maybe choose not to respond in kind to a hateful word that someone speaks to you. Maybe you choose to walk in love and forgiveness over someone who's been ugly to you. Maybe reach out to a stranger and let them know that they have value. Maybe smile at someone who looks sad or hug someone who seems upset. Maybe you pray for them. You see, there's 100 different ways that you can do this. So what we experience here in the four walls of this church, the atmosphere that we help to cultivate, it's kind of sort of a safe testing ground where we do it amongst those of like faith. But the real test is how we live it out beyond these four walls. I want you to picture, if you will, this corporate gathering as kind of a macro climate, kind of a larger climate, and maybe yourself individually as a micro or a small climate. If you can picture yourself in this church as kind of a weather system, may the same spiritual weather system that you contribute here to be experienced wherever you go. You know, it took a few different things to line up in order for us to get a snowstorm this past Wednesday. It had to have the moisture. It had to have the cold. It had to have those right sort of dynamics in order for us to get that snow. The same goes for us spiritually, folks. We have to provide the same sort of contributing qualifications in order for us to have showers of God's spiritual empowerment to be poured out through us here corporately and also wherever we go in 100 different ways. So what does that look like? What needs to change in this corporate gathering? What needs to change in our individual lives in order for the spiritual storm and showers of blessings to be poured out of us to those that need the blessings and the good news of Jesus Christ? You see, that's the first box. Know or knowing Christ. So what do you do with these folks who are saved then, who finally put a ring on it? Once they make that commitment, what are we as a church called to do? Well, let's move to the second box, and I want you to write this word in there. Because in the second box, I want you to write the word grow. Grow. And if you will turn with me to John chapter 6, we're going to continue with these disciples, and you're going to see where they were growing in their relationship with Christ. What does growing in Christ look like? John chapter 6, verse 53. Let's start there. If you're there, let me hear you say, praise the Lord. So Jesus just got finished talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood. He's getting ready to go into a little part here that's pretty intense. It says here, he said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. And in verse 60, he continues, it says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard thing. Who can understand it? And when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? Verse 62, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, if I have said to you that no one else can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. And it says in verse 66, one of the saddest verses I see in the Bible is this. From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. They turned away. And then Jesus, when he saw that many of his disciples abandoned him, turned to the 12 and said, do you also want to go away? And here's one of the most exciting and promising verses in the Bible. Verse 68 says this, Simon Peter answered him saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Something took place between chapter 1 and chapter 6 where they walked with Jesus, they dated Jesus, they fell in love with Jesus, and they got to the point where many of the disciples that followed him because of all the good stuff that he could do for them. Oh, he's my sugar daddy. He's my healer. He's the one that takes care of all of my good stuff. And boy, I tell you what, I like this guy because every time he goes around, somebody's laying hands on the sick and they're being healed. And if I ever get sick, I know he's going to heal me. I know that he's the one that's going to provide all of my needs. I like that stuff. But when Jesus finally got down to brass tacks and said, you got to drink my blood and eat my flesh, many of the disciples turned away. Many of those fair weather followers turned away from him and said, that's too hard for us. But the core disciples, those that were ready to put a ring on it, said, we're going to marry you, and we're going to have a relationship with you long term. No more courtship, no more dating. It's time for the wedding, and it's time for the marriage. And by the way, this coming Wednesday night, we're going to start in our married couples class, just kind of a little advertisement, about talking about what real marriage is. You see, society has converted marriage to a contract between two people. But marriage is not a contract. It's not this contract like what you would sign to buy a car, to buy a house, or to make some sort of agreement like that. Marriage is a covenant. And a covenant and a contract are two totally different things. And we'll talk about that more on Wednesday night. I hope you'll come to that and also to the other small groups that we have here throughout this campus, because this is really what we're talking about here this morning, is that we come to this, what I'll call the big box gathering on Sunday mornings, and we proclaim Christ. But folks, I want to encourage you to come to these other small gatherings, these small groups, these places where we grow in relationship with him as Lord, where we're journeying through the seasons of life together, where we're discovering the details that only deep devotion can produce. It's continuing with this analogy between a man and a woman. After you put a ring on it, there's a marriage to live out. And when we come together in these small groups like the women's ministry Bible studies on Tuesday mornings and our small groups on Wednesday nights, the youth group that meets on Sunday nights, and other sort of small group activities that we have and will grow and create more of, those are opportunities for us to get to know who Christ is on a more intimate level. This is good, but this is not everything. This is just the introduction to Christ. But to go deeper, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to come to every time we have the church doors open, but I would encourage you to make it a priority. Not that that's going to make you a better Christian just by coming to church, but as you involve yourself, as you engage in the things of the Lord and grow in Him with those of like faith, it will spurn you on to that deeper relationship with Him that you just can't do on your own. You see, marriage has its joys and its sorrows, its good times and its tough times. Marriage is filled with seasons. It's filled with firsts and with opportunities to learn and grow. Marriage, by its very definition, involves two people experiencing all that life has to bring their way, but not alone, but together. And when God's Word sets out to describe the dynamics of a relationship, even with Jesus Christ, it uses the analogy of a husband and a wife. Jesus is the bridegroom, the Bible says, and we, the church, are the bride. So the same relationship dynamics that we have with one another as man and wife, we should have also with Jesus. And even though it makes it easier to understand, it doesn't necessarily make it easier to live out. Because marriage takes work, takes dedication, it takes sacrifice. Marriage requires a dying of oneself for the sake of the other. It's no longer my goals. It's no longer my plans. It's no longer my things. But it's now and for all time ours. It's no longer I, but it's now we. And anything worth anything takes work. And as you selflessly and lovingly and faithfully invest into your marriage, you'll reap in kind and in greater proportion than what you invest. That's the law, by the way, of sowing and reaping. You always reap in kind, and you always reap more than you sow. You plant a kernel of corn, and you're going to get a corn stalk with ears of corn. You plant an apple seed, you're going to get a tree loaded with apples. And as it relates to our relationship with Jesus, it's the same way. As you sow into your relationship with Him through engaging in His life-giving Word, time in communication with Him through the gift that He's given us, this vehicle of prayer, time together with fellow believers in these small groups that I referred to a moment ago, time in worship in His presence, you'll reap in kind and more than you sow. I loved how Cameron said this morning that worship is not just about us necessarily worshiping the Lord, and it is primarily that, but also we're ministering to one another. That's a beautiful thought when you think about it. And again, it goes back to how we contribute. If we don't engage, if we're not contributing in some way, we're impacting one way or another, better or worse, the people even around us and the atmosphere that's here. As a church goes, we have these small groups on Wednesday nights, as I said, the ladies' Bible study, our times of prayer together throughout the week, which we have prayer on Sunday mornings. We have prayer on Friday mornings. We have prayer throughout the week here. I would encourage you to come and be part of that. It's our youth gathering, certainly. It's our Bible training camps that Pastor Kathy does every Sunday morning. In fact, there were several people in there this morning I was watching, and they're engaging in God's Word and getting to know. They put a ring on it. They're serious about this. And I want you to stay tuned as we create more opportunities for all ages and stages of life to help us with our spiritual formation here at Faith, our relationship with the Lord. But, folks, it's intentionally creating atmospheres where the power of the Holy Spirit can reveal to us the deeper things in Christ. We do life together. We hold each other accountable. We encourage each other. Iron, the Bible talks about iron sharpening iron. Yes, we carry one another's burdens. We laugh when others laugh. We cry when others cry. We are caring for one another selflessly, lovingly, and faithfully as the body of Christ has called us to do. That's why we have these small groups. And that's why it's so very important for us to engage in these things. We don't just have these small groups just to have something to do on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday morning. We're very intentional as to why we do what we do, and it's to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. As we engage in these small groups, our thoughts, our words, our actions are going to become more like Christ and less like the world and our old selves. You see, what happens is our priorities begin to shift. Our focus is on the things that are eternal. Our focus is on the things of our Savior's heavenly kingdom. And as we turn our eyes more fully on Jesus, the old song says, we look full into His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. and his grace. And then it's like, you know, we just get it. A light bulb goes off. And we truly discover what life is all about. Suddenly, life is not about what we can get, but it's about what we can give. It's not about us, but it's about others. It's not about being served, but it's how we can serve. In other words, it's living our lives like Jesus lived. Others-minded, serving, selfless, compassionately, and unconditionally loving. You know, the longer Kelly and I are married, the more that we become like each other. We rub off on each other. We're growing in our relationship with one another. It's a natural byproduct of marriage, that close proximity. It just happens. And I hope that it's happening the same as it is with my wife, as it is with Jesus, and that the longer that I serve Jesus, the longer that I hang out with him, that I'm more like him. At least that's my goal. I just want to hang out with Jesus, folks, and I want to encourage you to do the same thing. And as you do, he will rub off on you. And folks, we need Jesus to rub off on us. Amen. You know, my old fleshly and selfish nature is called to task in the light of Jesus' perfection. And the Holy Spirit convicts me and challenges me and also woos me to give up my fleshly ways and embrace the ways of Christ. And as all of us intentionally create atmospheres where we can grow in Christ corporately, let me also challenge you to create atmospheres in your other hours and your other days of your life away from church where you can grow in relationship with him. So let me ask you some questions here this morning. What atmospheres are you allowing yourself to live in? What things are you viewing? Are you listening to? Are you reading that creates this smoggy sort of polluted air in your heart? What relationships or activities are pulling you away from Christ and drawing you into the world? You see, you can create atmospheres outside of the four walls here. We can intentionally do it here, but you have to make sure you have to be careful in your 24/7 for the rest of your days as to what you expose yourself to, because it will either draw you into a deeper relationship with Christ or it'll pull you away. There's an old phrase that my mother-in-law says that I'll repeat again here this morning. You become who you hang out with. In other words, you become what you engage in. Be honest with yourself this morning. And let me encourage you, let me challenge you to repent of those things, to repent of those ways, to repent of those people, those relationships that you've allowed your life into your life and that you're creating atmospheres that are corrupting your spirit and making cold your relationship with Jesus. Instead, create intentional atmospheres that draw you into a deeper, loving, spirit-empowered life in Christ. It's all about choices that we make corporately and personally. And as you do, you'll eventually move from the second box to the third box, where we all need to ultimately live. This should be our destination box. This is the one that Jesus has for us to ultimately live in. We know Christ as Savior. We grow in Christ as our Lord. And then finally, in that third box, I want you to write the word go. So we know Christ. We grow in Christ. And then we go for Christ. John chapter 20, as we finish up our relationship that the disciples had with Jesus, we see in verse 21 of chapter 20, as Jesus was getting ready to ascend to heaven, he said to the disciples, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." More clearly in Mark 16:15, one of the last things that Jesus said before he ascended to heaven was to go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. That's Jesus' call for us as a church. He says, I want you to know me, yes, as Savior. I want you to grow in me, yes, as Lord. But I need you to go for me into all the world and to preach the gospel. You see, telling others about him as their Savior and Lord, that's what that looks like. Instead of a come and see that Jesus started off with, he is actually finishing up by saying, go and tell. It's not come and see anymore. It's go and tell. He's called us all to go out and tell others about the good news. And what this requires, folks, is compassion. It requires selflessness. It requires giving. It requires focus. It requires passion. And the only way that you'll have that capacity to do this is cultivating an atmosphere of an ongoing, intentional relationship with Christ where souls become your central focus. As we said last week, God's heart is souls for the hurting, for the lost. He longs to heal the brokenhearted. He longs to rescue those that are held in bondage of sin. And that's why he sent his son in the first place, to restore us to right relationship with him through Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Continuing again with the analogy of marriage, as part of the intimacy a couple has with one another, it ultimately produces children. You see, we conceive them, don't we? Then we birth them, give birth to them, and then lovingly and patiently we raise them, and then the circle of life as God intended continues. By the way, the circle of life was not invented by the Lion King. This is all God's doing. The Bible says that it's in him we live, and it's in him we move, and it's in him that we have our very being. In him is the circle of life. And as it is in the physical, as it is in the physical, we are called to do the same thing spiritually. Listen to this statement. A healthy spiritual womb should birth new babes in Christ. You see, Jesus commanded us to go for him. And by the way, a commandment is not a suggestion. It is a commandment. It isn't something that we can opt out of if we so choose. No, it's part of our job description as believers. It's right there in our owner's manual. You're holding it in your hands. It's called the Bible. Too many Christians excuse it away as something that they're not gifted at or called to do. Too many push off their responsibilities to the pastor and staff as the paid ones to preach and share Christ. Too many talk themselves out of what is clearly a command by Jesus and completely ignore the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I don't know, maybe it's because of fear. Maybe because we're intimidated. Maybe because we're just too busy. Maybe because we're just way too complacent and we don't care anymore. Maybe it's a loss of one's first love. Whatever the reason, folks, there are far too many spiritually barren wombs in the body of Christ. I want you to listen to this statistic. If this were to happen in the physical realm, this would be considered a medical epidemic. Listen to this. Surveys show that less than 2% of Christians actively engage in evangelism. That's 2 out of every 100. If only 2% of the women of childbearing years in this country were having babies, it would be catastrophic to our nation's very existence. And yet, we're strangely silent and curiously quiet about this epidemic in the body of Christ. This is an epidemic of monumental proportions, and yet, where's the outcry? So what must we do, church? We must create intentional atmospheres where we can show people how much we care so that it will give us the opportunity to share Christ with them. Because as I said last week, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. You know, we've begun this at Faith, but we have far to go. If there's anything that we need to work on more intentionally, it's that. It is this area. All three we need to work on better. But this area I'm most burdened about. But I do know this, that we have an addiction recovery class every Monday night that Richard Cooper and the team are here, and they point people to Christ for those who are dealing with addictions in their life. That's a start in the right direction. We financially support 29 missionaries from this church all across this globe, folks, in their efforts to share Christ. That's important. That's necessary. It's a good thing. And in fact, for those of you who are not going to be staying for the business meeting here after service today, I just want you to know that over $97,000, or in other words, over one out of every $5 that this church has received as income through your giving in 2017 went back out in one form or another to evangelism and to outreach and to blessing the needy. That's a good thing, and I commend the leadership for their giving and their focus and their heart for the needs not only of this community but this world. We take teams to foreign countries on missions trips as we partner with missionaries and their evangelism efforts. In fact, we're coming up, one of the examples of what this looks like is that this coming March, we're having Faith Force come in at the end of March to corporately reach out to this community to share the good news of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, if you want to be part of that, we need your help. We need your financial help. It's going to cost about $500 per school to get in. We're looking at having 12 schools at $6,000. If you want to contribute to that, just write out a check and put it to Faith Force, and we'll know what that looks like from there. But we're looking for you to pray as well for that. We're looking for you to step up to the plate and work in some capacity. We're definitely going to be looking for souls to come in here that have never heard about Jesus Christ. You know, Brent made that announcement earlier in church, and he held up his arm like this. And I know you don't know why he did that, but there's a 64 on his wrist that he wrote there. And that 64 represents 64,000 young people from elementary through high school that are represented in York County that live here. Many of them don't know Christ. And we're hoping that through what we do here in March, that we're going to catch a good chunk of them and minister the love of Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ to them. I would appreciate your prayers to that end, because everything we do is connected to a soul. You know, we can and must do better in this area, this box that we all live in, this go. But the call to go out for Christ isn't just a corporate calling, by the way. But as I've said in the last two examples, this is as well. It's an individual calling as well. You see, the Bible says that we are his hands and that we are his feet. And he's commanded us individually to go, not just as a church. You may be the only Christ that others may ever know. And I don't think I need to convince you of the lostness of our generation. Just look around every day. People are lost and going to hell apart from someone telling them about Jesus Christ. Good people go to hell every day, because anyone apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ will not make it to heaven. They will die in their sins. Maybe Jesus has just become routine to us. I don't know. Maybe our passion for him has just settled into a mediocrity that will make us spiritually impotent in our witness. Maybe we just don't care about unbelievers anymore. I mean, hey, as long as we've got our ticket to heaven, we're good. But to be effective for him, we must cultivate an atmosphere that moves us out of our impotence into a spiritually vibrant womb that reproduces on a regular basis. What does that look like for you? I don't know. But ask the Lord to pray to your spiritual womb right now, and ask the Lord to make it vibrant and alive and childbearing. And no more barren wombs. No more barren wombs. No more barren wombs spiritually. No more barren wombs, church. As we move from the first box of knowing him into the second box of growing in him, and finally live in this third box of going for him, we will have arrived at our highest calling and be walking in obedience to his command. You see, this is why we exist. This is why the church exists. This is why you exist as an individual, why we at Faith Assembly, why we exist here on this hill. And this is what we intend to cultivate here at Faith, these three spiritually empowered atmospheres. The first, for those who need to know Christ, our Sunday morning crowd, where we all contribute to the atmosphere of the purposes to introduce Christ to others, not preference, but purpose. The second, for those who need to grow in Christ, is we create atmospheres for the congregation to gather together to cultivate a deeper and more abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. And finally, third, for those in our core who need to go for Christ into the highways, into the byways, sharing the life-giving good news of Jesus Christ and giving birth to new babes for his kingdom on a regular basis. These three atmospheres are all at once corporate and individual. May the Holy Spirit empower us corporately and individually to cultivate atmospheres that promote knowing, growing in, and going for Christ. Know and grow and go. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. Would you stand with me this morning as Cameron comes up, and let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for helping us to be reminded as to why we even exist. Lord, this is fundamental stuff, but yet I feel we drift so far so often from it. And I pray that you'd forgive us for drifting so far away, that we lose our focus, that we choose to come to church based on preference rather than purpose. Father, forgive us for that. Father, let our purpose be why we gather here, is to promote your lordship. Jesus, help us to see what we can do to contribute to that atmosphere, that spiritually empowered atmosphere that promotes you, Jesus, and you alone. In small ways and in big ways, we all are part of that. Help us to see what that looks like corporately and in our day-to-day lives outside of these four walls so we can lead others to Christ. What kind of atmosphere do we need to create? Help us, Lord, individually, in our day-to-day. Lord, also help us to desire to put a ring on it. Lord, that we would desire to grow in you, not be stunted in our growth, not be just satisfied with where we are in our relationship with you, but that we would invest time and energy and devotion to you in a deeper way. Corporately here, Lord Jesus, as we come together in these small groups, that we would engage, that we would open up your Bible, and that we would study your word, and that we would get alone in our day-to-day and open up your Bible and study your word and let it become part of our lives, and let who you are, your character qualities, all that you are, your attributes, to become who we are, and that we would slowly become more like you as we hang out with you and grow in relationship with you. Father, then I pray that you'd help us to not ever consider this a suggestion but a command, this last thing that you want us to do, this box that you want us to live in, and that's to go for you, to be your hands, to be your feet, to be your mouth, to be your ears, to be your eyes, to be your heart, to be who you are extended. Let people see how much we care so that they'll listen to what we have to share so that others will become saved and delivered from their sins. Father, I pray right now that you'd infuse in each one of us an active spiritual womb. Let each womb in this place become alive, and let it be conducive to receiving birth and in new babes in Christ. God, let our wombs regularly produce babes in Christ. Oh, God, I pray, let us buck the trend and the statistics here at Faith Assembly. Don't let it be 2%. Don't let it just be 2 out of 100 of us doing this, but let it be 100 out of 100 us doing this, Lord God. Father, we'll settle for nothing less than 100%. Father, wake us up. Remove the complacency. Remove the busyness. Give us a burden. Give us a compassion. Move us out, Lord God, and show us those things. Open our eyes to see the harvest field that's ripe unto harvest. Lord, your word says that the harvest is plenty and the laborers are few. God, we know there's at least 64,000 young people. Then there's moms and dads and other people that are part of those families as well. There's hundreds of thousands in York County that need you, Lord Jesus. And Father, if 12 men can change the world for you, certainly we 150 to 200 on any given Sunday can make a difference in York County. Father, we lay aside our purposes and our plans. And God, I pray that you'd help us instead to focus on your eternal kingdom, on the highest calling that you put on each of our lives, to go and preach the gospel and make disciples, to birth babes into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Father, we're sobered by this, and we know, Holy Spirit, that we can't do this without you. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come empower us corporately and individually to do what you've called us to do, that we would know you, yes, grow in you, absolutely, and then go for you, definitely. Thank you, Holy Spirit.